Throughout the Yom Tov of Chag HaSukkos, we had an opportunity on many occasions to fulfill what the Gemara discusses in Shabbos, the obligation of Hidur Mitzvah. The Sugi in Shabbos, Tav Kuf Lamed Gimel, cites the Pasuk of Zeh Keli Va'anveyu, and the Gemara is Doresh that Hisna Lefanova Mitzvos, one is obligated to perform mitzvos in a beautiful fashion. And the Gemara continues and gives us many different examples. A person is obligated to have a lulavna, shofarna, sukkana, the object in which one performs the mitzvah, the chefzeh shel mitzvah, that should exhibit a certain sense of beauty. And therefore, we beautify kavyacha Kadosh Baruch Hu by performing mitzvos with this sense of splendor and beauty itself. Unclear from the Rishonim, this obligation of zeh keli v'anveyu, is this in fact a mitzvah min HaTorah, or is this only a halacha derabanan? The Gemara does write earlier in Sukkah on Daf Yud Aleph, the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding lulav tzarech eged. We know when you take the dalet minim, it is necessary to bind the lulav together with hadasim and aravos. How in fact do we know that this is true? According to Rabbi Yehuda, this is clearly halacha daraisa. Rabbi Yehuda has a gzera shava based on Agudas Ezov to tell us that the lakicha of the dalet minim must be b'vas achas, and therefore one is obligated to take the lulav together with hadasim and aravos. If one does not do so, one would not fulfill the mitzvah of netilas lulav. But yet the Chachamim maintain this is not the case. It is not l'ikuva. The chatchila one is obligated to do so, to create the eged of the lulav, b'di'eved, even if one would not do so. You don't bind the minim, one nonetheless is considered to be yotzei. So the Gemara asks the simple question. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Gzeira Shava, I understand. But according to the Chachamim, if they have the Gzeira Shava, why do we assume this is only a din l'chadchila? And if not, what is the basis of at least l'chadchila binding the Dalet Minim? And the Gemara answers that according to the Chacham, as we assume l'halacha, it is rooted in this pasuk. It is not Gzeira Shava, but rather Zeh Keli Vanvehu. Hidur Mitzvah demands that you have to take the Baal Nulav with Hadassim and a rabbi. So the Gemara tells us, as we assume the halacha, the chatchila, yes, minimally b'di'evit, a person would still be otzei, even if he would take the dalet minim independently. The Ritva is bothered by the following. This halacha of hidur mitzvah, a din d'araisa or a din d'rabanan? And the Ritva puts forth the following astounding statement, that realize, when it comes to a mitzvah min HaTorah, lo shanilan ben l'chatchila ben b'di'evit, if the Torah insists that this is what you must do, how can you argue that, but nonetheless, if it is not done, you still fulfill the mitzvah? If in fact it is a halacha min HaTorah, in such a case, it is indispensable. You could not be yotzei without it. And from the fact that the Chachamim maintain that b'di'evid you would be yotzei, even if you don't bind the dalet minim, that indicates that hidur mitzvah is only derabanan. That is the view of the Ritva. That drasha, the sugi and Shabbos kuflam and gimel, zek keli vanveil hisna lefana b'mitzvos, not min HaTorah, but rather an asmachta derabanan, and that's why that minimally, even if one does not fulfill that element of hidur mitzvah, nonetheless, he is yotzei. This is against the view of the Ravid. The Ravid is quite explicit that hidur mitzvah, in fact, is min HaTorah, but nonetheless, ideally, yes, minimally, you would still fulfill the mitzvah without. But that is the position of the Ritva, that hidur mitzvah is only drabanan. Had it been min HaTorah, how could you argue that the d'yeved, one in fact would be yotzei? This is not an unfamiliar theme in the Ritva, that when it comes to a mitzvah daraisa, lo shanilan ben l'chadchila ben b'di'evet, if the Torah insists, you cannot be yotzei without it. The Ritva writes this as well in a very different context, in Megillah and Daf Chaf, when it comes to the machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda regarding Kriya Shema. The Gemara is doresh as follows, that Shema Yisrael, Hashmei la'oznecha, Masha tamotzi mipicha. A person has to hear himself articulate the words of the Kriya Shema. What happens if you recite each and every word of Shema, but somehow you don't hear yourself do so? Rabbi Yossi writes, you would not be yotzei. But we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that b'di'evid, you in fact are yotzei. The Ritva is bothered. If this is what the Pasuk means, Shema Yisrael, Hashmil oznecha, Masha tamotzi mipicha, if the Torah really insists that this is necessary, How can you argue ideally yes, but minimally no? And the Ritva writes in Megillah Daf Chaf that again, that drasha of the Gemara, that you're obligated to hear that which you recite, is not min haTorah, but rather it is only derabanan. Because if this was an insistence of the Torah in such a case, how can you argue that ideally yes, but minimally no? This is against the view of the Rashba. Because the Rashba maintains that that halacha, that you have to hear yourself recite each and every word of Kriyashma, that is min haTorah. Even though, b'di'evit, you would be yotzei as long as you enunciate, as long as you articulate the words. But the Ritva maintains no. When it comes to that which is min haTorah, lo shanilan, ben lechatchila, ben b'di'evit. And the Ritva emphasizes this in the third place, in Hilchos Brachos as well, where the Ritva is bothered by the following. You know, the Gemara tells us when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, that one is obligated not only to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food that we receive, but also to acknowledge Bris in Torah. Abris Rashachasamta Bibsarenu, Val Taras Rashlimatanu. Bris in Torah are necessary in order to properly fulfill the mitzvah Birchas HaMazon. The Ritva maintains as follows. What happens if a person omits Bris in Torah? Is he yotzei the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon min haTorah, or does he not? And the Ritva maintains that yes, he is yotzei. Bris in Torah is not li'ikuva. And the Ritva writes that indicates that the need for Bris in Torah is only drabanan. Because if min haTorah, the Torah would insist that this is necessary, how could you argue, yes, min haTorah, it is required, but b'di'evit, nonetheless, you would be yotzei. That is the position of the Ritva, that even though we acknowledge in mentioning Bris in Torah, failure to mention, nonetheless, you would argue that you don't say. You know, this is relevant. Rabbi Gveger raises the following suffix. Let's assume, for example, a person is obligated to bench. And by mistake, he doesn't recite Birchas HaMazon, but rather he recites an Al HaMichya. In such a case, would you be yotzei Birchas HaMazon Daraisa with the bracha Achas Mein Shalosh? Two issues Rabbi Gveger discusses. One is the following, that you only have a single bracha, as opposed to three brachos. But maybe one could argue that min haTorah, you don't require three independent brachos. That is not necessary. And the further issue Rabbi Gveger discusses, in Al HaMichya, you don't acknowledge Bris in Torah. Is that considered to be li'ikuva midaraisa, or is it not? That's the Kiddush that the Ritva writes, that min haTorah, you do not require three independent brachos, nor do you require an acknowledgement of Bris in Torah. In such a case, one in principle could be yotzei min haTorah by reciting an Al HaMichya instead of a complete Birchas HaMazon. But these are one of the three places. Hidur mitzvah, that the Ritva stresses when you're dealing with a mitzvah min haTorah, in such a case, then you cannot argue that lechatchila yes and b'di'evid no. So the Ritva writes, it must in fact be that the requirement of hidur mitzvah is not min haTorah, because after all, the Gemara tells us that b'di'evid, if a person doesn't bind the lulav together with hadas and rabos, nonetheless he is still considered to be yotzei. This is not always the case. If you look, for example, in Rashi in the very beginning of Lulav HaGozel and Sukkah Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, there the Mishnah tells us that Lulav HaGozel V'Hayavesh Pasul. One cannot use a dried out lulav in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. Unclear from the Gemara exactly why is that true. What is wrong with a lulav yavesh? Rashi writes in Sukkah Daf Chav Tes, Hidra Mitzvah. Rashi writes, Ze Keli Van Veil Hisna Lefana B'Mitzvos. Apparently, according to Rashi, the need for the beautiful Dalid Minim is simply part of the broader halacha of Hidra Mitzvah. And Tosus disagrees. Tosus writes that, what do you mean you're not Yotzei if you have a Lulav Yavesh? And Hidra Mitzvah is not Li'ikuva. Hidra Mitzvah is only Lechatchila. As the Gemara tells us in Sukkah Naf Yud Aleph, binding, lulav tzarech eged, lechatchila yes, but b'di'evid no. And therefore Tosus disagrees and maintains no. The need for hadar, when it comes to dalid minim, is not because of the general halacha of zekei van veil, but rather the Torah describes the esrog as being creates Hadar, uniquely true when it comes to Dalit Minim, and according to the Chachamim, we extend the concept of Hadra Lulav and expand that to the Dalit Minim as well, but this is not the Halacha B'chala Torah Kula Vidar Mitzvah. According to Tosfos Ushita, Hadar is vital when it comes to Dalit Minim. Hidr Mitzvah, generally, Tosfos writes, is not considered to be Likuva. It is simply a Halacha L'chadchila. But this is Rashi Shita. Rashi writes, at times, if you fail to fulfill the element of Hadar, one would not be Yotzei the Mitzvah at all. You know, it is interesting that Tosfos writes that where do you find Zek Keli Van Veyu? B'di'evet. The Gemara writes in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph that, yes, ideally do so, but b'di'evet, one is Yotzei. Do you ever find the case of Zek Keli Van Veyu, which is Ma'ake B'di'evet? You know what's difficult with Tosfos? That there is such a case. And that's the Gemara in Gittin Daf Chav. The Gemara writes an unusual occurrence. A person, for example, let's say is writing a Sefer Torah, and he has to write a Shem Hashem. And for whatever reason, his mindset was he was going to write the name Yehuda. Yehuda. But lo and behold, he forgot the Dalit, and he wrote a Yud-Ke Vav-Ke. The Gemara says, Ein Zeh Shem in Hamukha. This is an inappropriate Shem. His intent was not to go ahead and to write a proper Shem. So the Gemara writes, would we allow a person to do this? Ksav al gabi ksav. Would you allow a person to go ahead and to write over the letters that already were written? And the Gemara writes that no, that would not rectify that shame. And therefore the Sefer Torah would not be kosher. What exactly is wrong with that? The Gemara says, because we require Zek Keli Van Veyu. We require that the Ksav has to be written in a beautiful fashion. It has to exhibit a certain sense of beauty and splendor. And that is not true in that particular case of writing over that which is already written. And therefore the Gemara says, that is possible. It's striking. The Tosfos writes that Hidr Mitzvah is only Lechatchila. You do have a case in the Gemara, which is the model of Rashi, that Zek Keli Van Veyu was even Bidi Eved as well. So it is interesting. The Tosfos writes, where do you ever see that this is true? The Gemara is explicit in Gittin Daf Chav that this in fact is the case. Rav Soloveitchik once suggested, and if you look in the Sam Sofer suggests the following as well, that maybe that case of the Gemara of Ksiv Hashem Hashem is quite different. You know, there's a drasha, Zek Keli Van Veyu, Hisnal Afana B'mitzvos. Every mitzvah that we perform should be done in a beautiful fashion. Lulavna, Sukkahna, Shofarna, Tzitzisna. That's the drasha of the Gemara. Every mitzvah should exhibit beauty. But even aside from that drasha, the Pasuk itself, Zek Keli Van Veyu, the Pasuk is referring to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zekeli, the Ksiva Shem Hashem. And there Chassam Sofer writes the following Chiddush. When it comes to Ksiva Shem Hashem, then everyone would agree that that is considered to be vital. Even if Tosfos maintains when it comes to other examples, that is not necessarily true. But when it comes to the Shem Hashem, no doubt that has to exhibit the beauty, the splendor of Hidr Mitzvah, otherwise you would not be Yotzei. But a fascinating machlokes. The Rashba, the Ritva, whether Hidr Mitzvah is in fact a Din D'oraisa, and whether Hidr Mitzvah is only the Chatchila, whether in fact it's B'di'evet. See, this could hinge on another issue as well, and that is as follows. Even if I maintain that Hidr Mitzvah is Min HaTorah, does that necessarily mean that without it I wouldn't be Yotzei? Let me give you an example. The Mitzvah of Tefillin. You have Tefillah Shoyad, Tefillah Shorosh. Let's assume, for example, a person did not don the Tefillah Shorosh, but still he fulfills the Mitzvah of Tefillah Shoyad. Isn't the Tefillin Shorosh a mitzvah in HaTorah? How could it be Yotzei the Tefillah Shoyad without the Tefillah Shorosh? You know what the Rambam answers? Because they are two independent mitzvahs. The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvahs that there's a mitzvah of the Tefillah Shorosh, there's a mitzvah of the Tefillah Shoyad, even though both are min HaTorah, but nonetheless they are Ein Ma'akvin Zeze, because they are independent. Maybe one could have argued the same is true when it comes to Hidr Mitzvah. That even if Hidr Mitzvah is Min HaTorah, you know why you can fulfill the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog even without Hidr? Because perhaps one could argue these are two independent kiyumim. There is one mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of Lulav, Sukkah, Shofar, and then there is an independent obligation of Hidr Mitzvah, and even though both, in fact, are Min HaTorah, if you lack the Hidr, you'll still fulfill the mitzvah, because it is an independent kiyum. You see apparently from the Ritva that is not true. He doesn't view Hidra Mitzvah independently. But Hidra Mitzvah is an inherent part of each and every mitzvah. It's not that there are two obligations. One is to perform the mitzvah, and then an independent mitzvah to do so in a beautiful fashion. But rather, Hidra Mitzvah is the manner in which each and every mitzvah is to be fulfilled. And on that basis, you can envision the view of Rashi and others that maintain that if you lack Hidra Mitzvah, it's not just simply that you didn't fulfill that mitzvah, but rather that impacts on the essential mitzvah at hand, in which case, one in fact would not be Yotze. When I look at that Gemara, Hidra Mitzvah, and I give you all of those examples, make sure you have a beautiful sukkah, and a beautiful lulav, a beautiful shofar, a beautiful tzitzis, beautiful tzitzis. Interesting. Rashi writes in Bava Kama Daf Tes, when he cites the Gemara, a beautiful beged, a beautiful beged. That's also very interesting. Now, what exactly is the cheftish shel mitzvah when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis? The Gemara says you should have tzitzis now. Rashi writes in Bava Kama Daf Tes, you should have a beged now. It's an interesting chiddush for another shir. What is the role of the beged in the mitzvah of tzitzis? Intuitively, we wouldn't insist that a person has to have a palatial home in order to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. Now, the beauty of the mezuzah is the hidra mitzvah, not necessarily the beauty of the bayis. But Rashi writes the beauty of the beged is part of the hidra mitzvah as well. Apparently, the relationship between the beged and tzitzis is more inherent than the relationship of mezuzah and bayis. But in all those cases, a beautiful beged, beautiful tzitzis, beautiful lulav, beautiful shofar. If I was asked to sum up hidra mitzvah, I would use one word, and that is cheftza. Cheftza. The object with which the mitzvah is performed, that should exhibit a certain sense of beauty. But yet, if you look in the Rishonim, you find that there's another concept of hidra mitzvah as well. Not in terms of cheftza shel mitzvah, but rather in terms of the kiyum mitzvahs hagavra, the manner in which the mitzvah is performed, not simply the object of the mitzvah itself. And I'll give you several examples. If you look in Arvei Pesachim, Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, the very beginning of the parak, you know that that is where the Mishnah discusses that already on Erev Pesach, a person should not be koveya suda. We don't have a large suda on Erev Pesach. We don't, as the Rishami writes, eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Why? Because we want to make sure that the matzah that we eat at the Seder is ne'echal l'te'avon. We want to make sure that the matzah of the Seder will be eaten with a certain sense of passion, enthusiasm. We should yearn for that mitzvah achila. And therefore, a person should not go ahead and eat earlier because that will compromise his excitement regarding the performance of the mitzvah. Why is it so important that the matzah should be nechal, the te'alvam? Why exactly is that true? If you look in the Rashbam, right, and Rashi, and that sugya, Psachim, and Av Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, they both write that that is part of the kiyum of hidra mitzvah, of zek keli van veyu. That's a very different type of hidra mitzvah. We're not speaking about the object itself, that the matzah should exhibit beauty, but rather we're talking about the manner in which a person performs a mitzvah. A different hagdara of hidur. Not only in terms of the object, but rather see to it that the mitzvah is performed in a beautiful fashion. If you look at Tosfos, Tosfos also maintains that this is true. You know, in Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches, a fascinating machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, comes up very, very often. Let's assume, for example, a person is in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, and the tzibur comes to Kadosh HaKadosha. What does a person do? It takes you a little bit longer to daven Shmoneh Esrei. Already the chazan is in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, Kedusha. You're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Or the Mechaber writes in Hilchos Tefillin, you're putting on your tefillin, and all of a sudden, the tzibur is up to Kaddish or Kedusha. Hopefully, Kaddish, not necessarily Kedusha. In that case, so what do you do, right, in that instance? Do you answer? No, you can't answer. That's considered to be a hefsek. So Rashi writes in Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches, very simply, Shomea Ka'one. Stop. Have in mind to be Yotze, and Rashi writes, you have the best of both worlds. Now, on the one hand, you're Yotze the mitzvah of answering to Kaddish HaKadusha through Shomea Kona, but yet, it is not considered to be a hefsek, because since you didn't speak, that is not considered to be an interruption. Tosus disagrees, and the name of Rabbi Rabbeinu Tana maintains that is not true. Tosus writes, Shomea Kaone, that listening is tantamount to expression. And therefore, just as you cannot answer Takara Shekadusha, in such a case, do not have in mind to be Yosei Shomea Kaone, because that would be a Hefsid in the Shemone Esrei itself. Apparently, the machlokis between Rashi and Tosus is how you understand the concept of Yidur Mitzvah. Does it mean of Shomea Kona? Am I Yotzei through Shmia, mere listening, or do I assume it really has a Torah's Dibur? It's considered to be a form of expression, and therefore it's considered to be a Hefsik. So Tosus writes, no, Shomea Kona is considered to be a form of Dibur, and therefore you cannot interrupt in the middle of Shmone Esrei, in the middle of putting on your tefillin. Then Tosus makes this following comment. But nonetheless, even though it's true, Shomea Kone, but Tosus says, but I admit that Aniya, answering, is preferable. Answering is preferable. Even though you could be Yotze, right, through the principle of Shomea Kone, but I admit that it is better to go ahead and to state the words yourself. Let's assume, for example, one is very tired, and therefore, you know what, instead of answering to Kadosh HaKadosh, I'll listen to you, and I'll have in mind to be Yotzei. So Tosu says, no, even though technically we have a principle of Shomea Kone, Tosu says, Aniya Adif Tvei. It is preferable to answer. Why is that true? Tosus in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Ches, writes that this is a mitzvah namuvcha. Ideally, you should answer, even though minimally Shomea Kone is sufficient. This Tosus is also found in Brachos and Abchof Aleph, and there Tosus writes something somewhat different. Tosus writes, even though it's true, you could be Yotzi through Shomea Kona, Yotzi through listening, but Tosus says it is better to answer, to perform the mitzvah yourself. Why is that true? Tosus writes that that is called Hidur Mitzvah. That is considered to be an enhancement, embellishing the mitzvah, by doing it yourself rather than reliance on another. That even though it's true, the Torah has vehicles of shlichus or shomea ka'ona. You know, sometimes I can discharge my obligation through another, but Tosu says the care, the passion to perform the mitzvah yourself, that is considered to be a form of hidra mitzvah. Interesting. There, we're not dealing with beauty of the object itself. Here we're simply discussing the performance of the mitzvah by the individual. It is considered to be an enhanced fulfillment if I perform the mitzvah myself rather than rely on someone else to do so on my behalf. And Tosus labels that as a form of Yidra Mitzvah. You know, with that Tosus in mind, you understand another Gemara. The Gemara has in Shabbos Chaf Aleph, in the Sugya of Ner Hanukkah. What is the Iker Mitzvah of Hanukkah? Ner Ishu Beisa. Ner Ishu Beisa. What does that mean? That, you know what? That we can have, right, one person who will light in the household on behalf of Kol B'nei Habayis. But yet, what is Mahadrin? Ner Lechol Echad V'Echad. How does the Ramah understand Mahadrin? That no, not that the Balabayis should light on behalf of everyone, but rather, everyone should light himself. What is that called? Everyone performing mitzvah themselves? The Gemara in Shabbos calls that Mahadrin. Tosus writes, that's exactly Hidra Mitzvah. I could be Yotzei Al Yedei Acherim, but performance of the mitzvah myself, that is considered to be a form of Hidra Mitzvah. Not Hidra Mitzvah in terms of the object of the mitzvah, but rather Hidur Mitzvah in terms of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. It is an enhanced performance. The Rambam makes an interesting distinction, the difference between Shomea Ka'one as opposed to Anias Amin. The Rambam writes, Perak Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph of Hilchos Brachos. The Rambam writes that if I listen to you and I am absolutely passive, I do nothing, that is called Shomea Ka'one. But then the Rambam adds, V'chol Ha'one Amin Achar HaMavarech, HaRezeh Kimavarech. If you answer Amen, that is considered to be your performance of the mitzvah itself. All of us are sitting around the table Friday night, the Balabayis makes Kiddush. If I would just listen and have in mind to the Yotzei, that, if the Rambam writes, is called Shomea Kone. Tosus writes, that's not the ideal tier. However, if you answer Amen, the Rambam writes, Amen is considered to be Kimavarech, Kamotzi Shumi Pivdami. And in such a case, that is considered to be the mitzvah Minamukhar. That's what Tosus calls Hidra Mitzvah. Hidra Mitzvah, not in terms of Cheftishal Mitzvah,
Hidur mitzvah in terms of the kiyum mitzvahs, hagavras, so two different types of hidur. One is to make sure that the object of the mitzvah reflects a certain sense of beauty, a beautiful lulav, a beautiful shofar, a beautiful sukkah, and the other is the care and the passion with which you perform a mitzvah. A mitzvah should be performed with enthusiasm, l'tayavon. A mitzvah should be performed individually, as opposed to reliance on another. All of that as well. Now there's a fascinating bir halacha. Bir halacha is found in Simon Taf Reish and Vav. The bir halacha refers to the Primegadim, where the Primegadim writes the following chiddush. You know, you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch tells us the following. But you know what? There are various different views as to whether a mitzvah can be performed this way or that way. And we pass from like a given sheet. This is kasher. To what extent is it a midas chasidus to be yotzei l'chol hadeis? You can purchase dalet minim where technically you're yotzei. But you can purchase dalet minim where you be yotzei even according to other shitos as well. What exactly is that called? Yitziyah sidei chovaso l'chol hadeis. The Prima Gadim, and this is what the Bir Halacha writes, Tafresh and Vav, that is called Hidra Mitzvah. Performing a mitzvah in a way that I'll be yotzei not only according to the technical Psak Halacha, but yet to perform a mitzvah to be yotzei l'chol hadeos, that also was called Hidra Mitzvah. And the Prima Gadim writes this is true l'alacha in the following sense. Hidra Mitzvah has a certain cap. There's a certain limit. That's what the Gemara writes about the Kamadat test, that Hidra Mitzvah is Ashlish. A person is only obligated to spend an extra third for the purpose of Hidra Mitzvah. The Prima Gadim writes, how much more do I have to spend to be yotzei l'chol hadeos? He answers, that is called Hidra Mitzvah, and Hidra Mitzvah is Ashlish. That's also a form of Hidra Mitzvah. Hidra Mitzvah, that I want to perform a mitzvah in such a way that I be yotzei according to all views. Rashi and Tosus and the Rambam and the Ravid, but even if technically speaking, not every view is quoted in Shulchan Aruch itself. They're also a form of a Hidra Mitzvah. So Hidra Mitzvah in terms of Cheftesho Mitzvah, the object of the mitzvah. Hidra Mitzvah in terms of the Kiyum Mitzvah, how the mitzvah is in fact performed. So these are obvious examples. Having a beautiful sukkah is Cheftesho Mitzvah. Sing to it that you eat matzah in a passionate way, that is the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Some cases it's a little bit unclear whether this is Hidra Mitzvah in Cheftesho Mitzvah or whether it's Hidra Mitzvah in terms of Kiyum HaMitzvah, Maisa HaMitzvah. That very same daf in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel, gives us another example of Hidra Mitzvah when it comes to Bris Milah. In order to have a Milah Kshera, it's necessary to remove the majority, rov of the foreskin, rov of the orla. But the Gemara writes as follows, removal of the orla in its entirety, that is considered to be Hidra Mitzvah. Removing all of the orla. Even though technically speaking, rov is considered to be sufficient. And it's interesting, that's where the Gemara describes the fascinating Chiddush. You have a Bris Milah on Shabbos. The Mola is going to remove all of the orla. Even though one could have argued that, you know, the mitzvah of Bris Milah could be fulfilled, even removing less than that. And even though Bris Milah is an act of making a wound, chavala, which is Nisra, Chilul Shabbos. But yet the Mola is going to remove all of the Arla, even that which is only necessary for the purpose of Hidra Mitzvah. Interestingly, as Rashi learns the Gemara, that's only true if the Mola does it in a single cup. Let's assume, for example, the mole removes part of the arla. And all of a sudden he stops. And he realizes this is a milah kshera, but you know, I didn't remove a little piece of the arla. Rashi writes that he cannot do any longer on Shabbos. That you have to wait until Sunday to do. Because after all, Bris Milah is Dolke Shabbos. Hidra Mitzvah independently is not Dolke Shabbos. The mitzvah Bris Milah is to remove rove of the arla. Removal of all of the Arla, that is Hidra Mitzvah. With my two models of Hidra Mitzvah, Chetza, Gavra, what type of Hidra Mitzvah is that? Is that similar to the Lulavna, the Shofana, or is that similar to the case of Achilas Matzah L'Teyavon? Maybe one would have argued Chetza Shomitzvah, it's the beauty of the Mila itself. Not necessarily. You know, Rashi writes in Yuman Daf Ayin, why is it so important to have a beautiful Cheftesho Mitzvah? Rashi writes that laharos chazusa l'rabim, to show the beauty of the mitzvah to others. We don't necessarily assume that that is the hidur mitzvah of bris milah. You know what the hidur mitzvah of bris milah is? Again, similar to shomei akona. Technically speaking, there's halacha of rubo kakulo. Once you meet rov, technically that is considered to be sufficient. But you know what? The passion, the enthusiasm of hidur mitzvah, that mandates not to rely on the rubo kakulo, but rather to perform the mitzvah in its entirety. I could rely on shomei akona. I could rely on shlichus. But the hidur mitzvah requires that no, I should do the mitzvah myself. I should fulfill the mitzvah of the teyavah. Perhaps that's also true of bris milah. Even though technically speaking, I could get by with a minimal performance of bris milah, but the hidur mitzvah of gavra, right, that requires that I perform the mitzvah b'shleimusa. And even that case of lulav tzarech eged, the need to go ahead and bind the dalet minim, what type of hidur mitzvah is that? That I could also understand in one of two ways as well. One possibility is that's hidur mitzvah in terms of the chefta shel mitzvah. That is a beautiful lulav. But maybe one could understand, no, it's more than that. The Gemara tells us, ulekachtem lachem, there should be a lekicha tama. One is obligated to take the dalet minim together. And even though minimally, if you take it in your hand, that is called a lekicha tama, but the hidur mitzvah requires in maisa mitzvah that you bind the lulav together with the hadas and aravos. The binding is part of the maisa lekicha, not just simply that the chefta shel mitzvah is something which is beautiful. And I'll bring you a proof that that's true. Tosfos writes in Gittin Daf Mem Hei, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the following. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis, so they cannot make tzitzis. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of lulav, so they cannot, Rabbi Yotam writes, tie the lulav together with the hadasim and the aravos. If you're obligated, yes, women are obligated in matzah, so women can make the matzah. However, women are not obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis, they cannot form the tzitzis. Women are not obligated in dalet minim, they cannot go ahead and create the egg. You know what the great chiddush of Rabbi Yotam is? See, I understand that women are exempt from tzitzis, they can't make tzitzis lishma. They're not obligated to the mitzvah, and the mitzvah must be lishma. But eged? Eged is only necessary because of hidra mitzvah. Is that so simple that you need a bar chiyuva for hidra mitzvah? You have your sukkah. Right? It's an empty sukkah. If you adorn your sukkah with beautiful decorations, that's a form of hidra mitzvah. So imagine, right, your wife is doing so, and you'll tell your wife, you know, you're not obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah, and therefore you can't adorn the sukkah with those decorations because zekev mei hidra mitzvah. But isn't that exactly what Rabbeinu Tam writes when it comes to lulav tzarech eged? You need a bar chiyuva for the mitzvah hidur. Would Rabbeinu Tam write, you need a bar chiyuva for sukkah decorations? The answer is no. When you're dealing with the hidra mitzvah chefza, simply that the object should exhibit beauty and splendor, then that is true regardless of whether it's put up by a man, by a woman, by a goy. You don't require a bar chiyuva for the hidra mitzvah and chefza. But if you're arguing that no, that the eged is considered to be part of lekicha tama, that's the chiddush that Avnei Nezer writes in Tof Lamed Gimel, that Rabbeinu Tam writes you require a bar chiyuva. So therefore, two levels of hidra mitzvah. Hidra mitzvah in terms of chefta shel mitzvah, make sure the object is a beautiful one. But hidra mitzvah in terms of the mitzvah's hagavra. See to it when you perform a mitzvah that you do so in a passionate way. It means with enthusiasm. It means that don't try to discharge the obligation al yedei acherim to do it yourself. It means that even if technically speaking, I'll tell you minimally, rov is enough, but no, to try to do the mitzvah in its entirety. And even in terms of dalet minim, you could hold the dalet minim together, but yet lahalacha, that is considered to be an enhanced lekicha when it's done through the act of the eged itself. These are two halachas when it comes to hidur mitzvah. And I'll ask you the following question. Why is that true? I understand hidur mitzvah, that the object should be beautiful. And the beauty of the object is clear by having a lulavna, sukkahna, shofarna, that I understand. What is the basis of hidra mitzvah in terms of gavra? See, here I'll tell you a magnificent Rashi. Rashi in Yuman Daf Ayin. Rashi describes, based on the Gemara, the Kriya Satara on Yom Kippur that was performed in the Mikdash. And Rashi writes that before Yom Kippurim, everyone used to bring this, and the Gemara describes their own Sefer Torah in order to be able to follow along with the Kriya of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And that, the Gemara says, is a form of Hidur Mitzvah. What is the Hidur Mitzvah? Of having everyone having their own Sefer Torah in the Mikdash Hashem, listening to the Kohen Gadol. So Rashi writes the following. First is that Laharos Noyash Sefer Torah. One thing is the beauty of the Sefer Torah itself. Imagine the scene, right? Everyone is there with their own Sefer Torah. It's a picturesque view. It's beautiful. That's the Hidur Mitzvah. And then Rashi has the following phrase. The Tiferes Ba'aleha, the splendor of the individual, Shetarach Lehisna B'mitzvos, who went through the trouble of performing a mitzvah in a beautiful fashion, Shenemar Zeh Keli Vanbeu Yisna L'Fana B'mitzvos. Rashi writes, you know what Hidur Mitzvah is? On one level, to have a beautiful lulav. But more importantly, you know what the Hidur Mitzvah is? Tiferes Ba'aleha, the beauty of the one who performs the mitzvah. That's the Hidur Mitzvah. The Hidur Mitzvah is the fact that I am exhibiting a certain sense of commitment and passion and beauty to Avodas Hashem when I go out and I see to it that I will have a beautiful object to perform the mitzvah. The Hidur, not of Chefza, but the Tiferes Balel. That's Rashi's phrase. Tiferes Balel, the splendor of the Osa mitzvah. That's why Hidur Mitzvah is not limited to the Cheftish Mitzvah. The Hidur Mitzvah extends to the Kiyum Mitzvah Sagavra. That's the Chiddush that Rashi writes. You know, sometimes we emphasize the Hidur of the object of the Mitzvah, but not always the Hidur of the Osa Mitzvah. That's critical. That's the Hidur Mitzvah, the beauty of the person who is the Oved Hashem, who is attempting to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not through Shlichus, not through Shamei Kona, not through Rubo Kekula, but rather is trying to perform the mitzvah with the meticulousness that the Torah Hashem requires. And that is an exhibition of Tiferes Baleha. What was the source of Rashi? There is a Gemara in the very beginning of Nazir on Daf Beis, where the Gemara says the following. A person decides to become a Nazir. He has to utilize an expression that somehow exhibits Nazirus. If a person says, hey, Nazir, obviously, that is language of Nazirus. The Gemara has an unusual case. A person says, hey, Nazir, I will be beautiful. I will be beautiful. Hareza Nazir. The Gemara asks, how do you know that's Hareza Nazir? A person says, I will be beautiful. Why is that a language of Nazirus? The Gemara says, V'dilma Hidur Mitzvah Kama. Maybe it means that I'll perform the mitzvahs of Hashem in a beautiful way. The Gemara says that no, tafas b'sarno. We're talking about a case where a person is holding on to his hair, and then he says that eina. So it's clear from his body gesture that he's referring to a mitzvah that has some restriction on hair, and therefore it's a language of nazirus. But again, what does the Gemara say? A person says eina, I will be beautiful. The Gemara says, why is that nazirus? That just means hidra mitzvah. How is that Hidur Mitzvah? That's the Rashi. Because the Hidur Mitzvah is Tiferes Baleha. How is it that a person is beautiful in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By performing mitzvahs with a sense of passion, with a sense of splendor. A detail of that is having a beautiful Cheftish Mitzvah, having a beautiful Begin, a beautiful Talis, and a beautiful Sukkah, a beautiful Shofar. But the essence is a Hainan. This is the beauty, the radiance of the individual in the performance of the mitzvah Hashem. You know, when you discuss Hidur Mitzvah, it's interesting that, is this really one of Taryag Mitzvahs? You don't find that the Rishonim count that independently. And perhaps for one of two very good reasons. Number one is that, you know, Hidur Mitzvah is not found so explicitly in the Torah, certainly not the Achar Matan Torah. This is just simply Zeh Keli Vanveinu. And furthermore, one could argue as follows. It's not even written in the Torah as a tzivui. The Torah is just describing in Shiras Hayam, when Bnei Yisrael praise Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh Keli Vanveinu. It's interesting. It's not written in the Chumash as a tzivui. So what exactly is that called? The Meiri already makes this comment in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. that Heder mitzvah is not one of the Taryag mitzvahs.
The Torah does not say one is obligated to do so, but rather the Torah records the appropriate praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shira Sayam, Zekei Vanveyu.
And what do you see from that? The appropriateness of Heder mitzvah. That this is something which is appropriate to do. It's a fascinating comment. That sometimes we will call something daraisa, not because it's a mitzvah, but rather because it is appropriate. We see from the Torah Sashem that this is something which is important. Even though it is not necessarily a mitzvah ktsuva, it is not something that black and white is given to us as a mandate, positive law, as the tzivui, but rather the fact that this is recorded in Shira Sayam, you see that this is something which is an appropriate thing to do. I'll give you another example. The Gemara writes in Bava Metzia and Daf Lamed Beis, Tsar Balei Chayim Daraisa. Abusing an animal, terrible. That you cannot do. You have to be concerned with the welfare of animals as well. Tsar Balei Chayim. Tsar Balei Chayim Daraisa. Push comes to shove, I'll ask you, good. The Gemara says, Tsar Balei Chayim is Daraisa. What is its source? Where is the apostle that tells us that Tsar Balei Chayim is Daraisa? Good, you say it's Daraisa. Bava Metzia Lamed Beis. What is the pasuk? Where is the pasuk? You'd be hard pressed to find a pasuk for Tsar Balei Chayim. If you look in the Rishonim and Achronim, you'll find many shitas, at least 11 different shitas. What is the source of Tsar Balei Chayim? I'll spare you from all of them. Let me give you a couple of examples. Now, Rashi writes, you see from the mitzvah of prika te'ina. Now, an animal is suffering under its burden. The Torah says you're obligated to relieve the animal of its load. Rashi writes, you see that Tsar Balei Chayim is daraisa. Or the Ravid writes in Shita Gobetzes, and that's Sugya, but Makam Daf Lamed Beis. The Torah tells us, lo safsom shor b'disho. You have an animal that is plowing for you, you're not allowed to muzzle that animal. It's not quite fair to have an animal work for you and it doesn't have the free rein to be able to graze. So Rashi writes, the source of Tsar Balei Chayim is prika te'ina. The Ravid writes, the source of Tsar Balei Chayim is lo safsom shor b'disho. What exactly does that mean? A person violates Tsar Balei Chayim. He violates the Isser of lo safsom shor b'disho. Certainly not. He doesn't violate that lo saseh. That lo saseh is very limited. An animal that is working for me, that I am muzzling and not allowing it to go ahead and to have free reign. But you know what the Ravid says? The Ravid says, you derive, you glean, you see from the Isser of Tsar Balei Chayim that this is appropriate. You know, the Rambam writes, Bilam was criticized for hitting the son. Well, if Bilam was criticized for hitting the donkey, you see that that is inappropriate. What does that mean? You could have said, Vasisa Yashavatal. No, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Tsar Balei Chayim is Daraisa. When you look through the Torah session, and you see that something is appropriate or inappropriate, the Gemara calls that daraisa. It's not necessarily a mitzvah sasei, it's not necessarily a mitzvah slo sasei, but undeniably, it's something which is appropriate. There's a Tshuvas Radvaz that writes, Tsar Balei Chayim is daraisa, but the Tshuvas Radvaz writes, it's not the mitzvah sasei, nor is it a mitzvah slo sasei, but it's a din daraisa. It opens up a whole world. That the Torah is not limited to Taryag mitzvos. We have our Taryag mitzvos, but there's so much more that the Torah conveys, even if it is not considered to be necessarily a specific mitzvah at all. You know, if you look in Yirmiyah, Perek Yates, the men of Israel were engaging themselves in all types of terrible practices. And the Navi criticizes Knesset Yisrael and says the following, what are you doing? Why are you engaging in these practices that resemble idolatry? These are things asher lo tzivisi, v'lo dibarti, v'lo olsa alidi. That's what the Navi says to Klal Yisrael. What you're doing is something which is lo tzivisi, lo dibarti, lo olsa alidi. You look in the Targum and that pasuk, Yirmiyah Yotetz. Lo tzivisi, this is not commanded to you in the Torah Hashem. Hashem didn't tell you to do this. Lo dibarti, Hashem did not tap a Navi to tell you this is what you should do. Lo osa alivi, the Targum writes, lo rava kadamai. This is not something that I, Hashem, desire. In other words, following the Ratzon Hashem means tzivisi, dibarti, osa alivi. You have to follow what Hashem instructs you in the Torah Shebichsav. You have to follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you al Yudei Navi. And you have to follow the Ratzon Hashem, the Ratzon HaTorah, even if there was no explicit, no overt instruction. Because that also is a din d'oraisa, not merely a midas chasidus. So much of what the Torah conveys is Ratzon Hashem, Ratzon HaTorah. This is what the Chazon Ish writes, that there's a binding power to the Ratzon Hashem, even if it is not necessarily a mitzvah mugderes. As Rashi in the very beginning of Bereishis, Taryag mitzvahs. The Torah could have begun with HaChodesh HaZalachem. But you know, if you skip Sefer Bereishis, you're not going to derive all the principles that you learn from the storyline of Sefer Bereishis. You know what din you can derive from the storyline of Sefer Bereishis? The Gemara Misafim in Daf Dalet, Zrizim Akin Mitzvos, so Yashkim Avram Baboker. The concept of Malei Shavu Azos, Rafa Meya, that's where the Yerushalmi derives, Ein Marvin Simcha V'Simcha. The concept of Harvus, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zadeh Zayuda, Anochi Arvenu. The concept of Havchala, that you have to preserve your Yichitz. The Torah tells us, L'Zara Chalar Fecha, L'Hafni Nezera, Posel Nezera Kosher. These are concepts in our Torah that are derived from the storyline of our Chumash. Not as a mitzvah. Where do you find the entire mitzvahs? Zrizim Akin mitzvahs? Where do you find that Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha? Where do you find the concept of Arevus? But that's what the Bavli and the Shami write. You see that these are priorities. That is called Ratzon HaTorah. And not Ratzon HaTorah in terms of Amidas Hasidus, Ratzon HaTorah, Tzar Balei Chayim, Daraisa. It's a fascinating possibility that aside from the mitzos mugdaros of the Torah Hashem, a person also has to realize that our job description in this world is fulfilling the Ratzon HaTorah. And Ratzon HaTorah goes beyond simple Taryag mitzvahs. And that's part of Hidur Mitzvah. Yidah mitzvah is not one of Taryag mitzvahs. It wasn't given to us as a tzivui, but you know what? We read the Shira Sayam, Zeh Keli Vanveyu, and that's what the Gemara tells us, Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. How do you attain that lofty level of Zeh Keli Vanveyu? That's Hisnala Farba Mitzvahs. A beautiful Heftesha Mitzvah, the Rashi, Tiferes, Balea. These are concepts, Daraisa, even if it is not necessarily part of the body of Taryag mitzvahs themselves. This is what we term the Ratzon HaTorah. Ratzon HaTorah. Appropriateness. What, you think when the Torah records that Avraham Avinu performed mitzvos as rizus, that's only to realize the greatness of Avraham Avinu? No, that's to tell you, zrizim akim mitzvos, this is a priority. The Miri writes that this is what you see from the basis of Avos. We don't look to Avos for Taryag mitzvos. That's what the Rambam writes, that's nikna Torah nischachu halacha. But we certainly look to Avos in terms of how it is that we should be a proper Eved Hashem. That is the concept of Ratzon HaTorah. That is the uniqueness of Hidur Mitzvah. Even without the mitzvah mugderes, even without an explicit mitzvah, but yet, Hidur Mitzvah, as the Ravid writes, is a mitzvah min HaTorah. In what sense? Because we glean, we see from the Shira Sayam, the appropriateness of doing so. That's the criticism of the Navi of Knesset Yisrael. Sometimes you engage in practices asher lo tzivisi, and sometimes lo dibarti, and often lo ol sa'alimi, lo rava kadamai. This is not something that I desire. It's an important message to incorporate into our avodas Hashem, obviously, diktuk and passion, enthusiasm to the Taryag mitzvahs themselves, but also to realize that our role as the true Oved Hashem is not limited to Taryag mitzvahs. But rather, it exhibits itself in the Tiferes Baleah. And the Tiferes Baleah embraces not only the mitzvah HaTorah, but the Ratzon HaTorah. And those are the two halachos of Zeh Keli Vanveyu. In the strict sense, to have a beautiful object to perform mitzvah. And yet, in the ideal sense, to see to it Tiferes Baleah, that everything that we do in Avodas Hashem, that reflects, that radiates the inner beauty, not simply of the object, but rather the Kiyum Mitzvah Sagavra, the beauty of Ehei Noah, the splendor of an individual who is so proud to be among the Ovdei Hashem.
Yeah.